Ann.
And I'm Daryl.
And we're Create Abundance Now. We're here to share,
teach,
learn,
and spread knowledge and healing.
And healing the world through our work
as coaches and trainers and now BBS show hosts.
Yeah, and we're all about knowledge and transformation. First of all, we want to thank Don Newsom and his amazing radio station. What a wonderful opportunity this gives us. It's truly amazing. And we also need to thank a few people. John Siri, whose music you heard just now. Thank you, John, for allowing us to use your music on our website. And we have a link from our website to your website. So if people are interested in your music, they can go there and they can download it and order it.
And our website is www.createabundancenow.net.
Thank you. I also wanted to thank Howard Mesner in advance. He's going to be one of our guests today. And real quickly.
And his website is doorwaystochange.com.
Great. And my mom, who I know is listening out there. And your parents?
And my parents, Robert and Eulalia.
Excellent. Let's see. Who are we?
We are master coaches, trainers of NLP and timeline therapy, hypnosis, and we also use psychic abilities with our coaching. And we'll get more into what NLP is. It stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming.
And timeline therapy, which is a process of the use of the conscious as well as unconscious mind to release negative emotions, limiting beliefs, and a myriad of different processes. We'll get more into that later also. So my partner Daryl and I also teach. We are trainers of this process as well. And we have some trainings coming up in December and January. Keep abridged of this information if you'd like through our website at www.createabundance.net. And we'll be giving you more information on that as time comes available. So, why do we want to do this coaching, Daryl? Why is this so important for us?
Well, it's important for us to bring what we've learned and the things that the NLP, timeline therapy, and hypnosis has done for me, mm-hmm. as far as for you, for healing.
Right.
The important thing is to, for us, was to let go of emotional baggage. And this allowed us to bring energy to bring us forward with our goals in our life. And what we could do as we go on, we'll talk more about timeline therapy and how that does that. But this is what it is for us. It's made big changes in our lives. And
right.
I can attest to that. It's really helped me release a lot of things. And since it's such a powerful thing for me and profound, we would like to share this with you.
And when we have Howard Mesner come on our show, who is going to be calling in around 1:15, if I'm not mistaken, and his number is 541-621-2936, he's going to be talking with us, if all goes well, on the Biology of Belief, a book that was originally done by Bruce Lipton.
And he's also going to be talking about values and how they impact our life, and how when we set our values, a lot of them are done unconsciously, or you could also say subconsciously.
Uh-huh.
And when we become more conscious of our values, it also realizes how that affects our behavior and how it affects our lives and everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about that too.
Okay, when we first decided to become coaches, one of the biggest things for me was I really had this desire to do motivational speaking, because I came to the realization one day, all this learning I'd been doing, all this knowledge I'd been sharing with clients as both a massage therapist and a life coach for many, many years, but it became abundantly aware to me that I needed to be sharing it on a larger level.
Yes, yes.
And quite honestly, this radio show allows us, Daryl and I both, to really reach out and touch the world with what we know and heard and read and learned over the years, what we've seen. And as both you and I do this, I don't know about you, but it allows us the possibility to touch people's lives, and it touches our lives, because as we facilitate their creation to abundance and change, it also increases our abundance and change in our lives, because in as much as we teach, we do also learn.
That is correct. I agree. Beyond what we show you and share with you in knowledge, we also are a neuro-linguistic program in atomic therapy, as we mentioned before, and hypnosis skills. This is going to change what it did for us, and what we're going to share with you is, I don't know if you're aware of, but I think most of the people listening to this that come to this website are well aware of vibrational changes. And there is what we call a paradigm shift going on, what I believe, on an earth level as well as a personal level. So from a micro and a macro level, a vibrational shift. And with this therapy that we're going to bring to you, it does help shift our vibrational levels to a higher level. It brings us to a higher level, which is also going to create more abundance in people's lives and a better feeling and more energy. So there's what we also call a polarity shift within the body, that there's a negative and a positive, and what we're trying to shift is to take people to release their negative emotions and bring that polarity to shift it to a positive experience in life. And that'll raise the vibrational level within your body and within your spirit and cause a better connection at that level. And we try to bring it from the unconscious, where that's where the behavior starts. And at the unconscious level, this is where all our memories, and this is where our bodies run from the unconscious. And this is also where our beliefs and values are. And we can take the unconscious and work with it through our work and help change the behavior to what you want
and that's
to manifest that.
And that's what's really great. I'm glad you're talking about that, Daryl. That's fantastic, because the timeline therapy is such a great process, because it works not only with the conscious but the unconscious mind. I was gone for a second, but I'm pretty sure that you covered that, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, I was just talking about what you were talking about with me earlier. Is about the polarity shift of vibrational
experience. Oh, and attraction. Letting go of all of the negative emotions on each one of the, I believe you call it gestalt.
Yeah, and a gestalt, a lot of people may be aware of a gestalt, which is traditional gestalt therapy.
Right.
Well, timeline therapy also works with the gestalt, not as the same as gestalt therapy. Gestalt therapy work, but it's using that same kind of theory, which is that if there's a significant emotional event in your life or a traumatic event or something that happened in your past.
And it could be a past life, or it could be something that's passed down genealogically, right?
Yeah. Then what you do is you're going to that root cause, because what it says...
The first event.
Yeah, it has a chain. Right. The gestalt is a chain. There may be a significant event, and then... Mm-hmm. As we go through our lives, we have these experiences that we may be similar, but may not, they connect with that.
Yeah.
Somehow they connect with that emotionally, and then it becomes a string. And it causes, when it creates a string, what we call a string of pearls with the gestalt, that kind of enhances that energetic force behind that first event, which, if that's causing problems in our lives, it's creating more energy, and that energy is drawing away from the energy that we want.
It's drawing away from that actual life force within us that we really are trying to utilize every day to push forward and create the lives that we truly desire to have. So
with timeline therapy, we are able to facilitate a person to release that entire chain. And that would go, we usually start with anger, and then we go sadness, fear, hurt, guilt. These are all emotions that we want to release.
Absolutely.
They're not doing us any good. They're not helping us feel good. They're not helping us get our power back. it's taking power from us, and we want to get our power back, don't we?
We do. Power that we want, that we need, that we have to really focus like a laser. Yeah. Focus on what it is we're creating. That was the actual purpose behind why I named the business Create Abundance Now. And when I did it, I actually contacted the state where I got the license and asked them, is it going to be a problem if we put an exclamation point at the end of the word now? And they said, well, no. What would be the need for the exclamation point? And I told them, you know, it's very clear to me that it has to be now. A lot of timeline therapy, from what I see, happens on a quantum level. I tell my clients that then is now and now is then, and the future is also now. What's happening in the future is actually happening this very second.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we create it, it's actually already here. Our just awareness of it hasn't caught up with that aspect yet.
Yeah, and we're using, a lot of clients maybe not they may have a hard time understanding some of that stuff.
Sure.
So we just tell them to use their active imagination. And to play around. And what we also say is that your unconscious, or you want to call it your subconscious, mind is like a 5-year-old child.
Mm-hmm.
It's like your inner child. It's very playful, and it likes to play games, and it likes to imagine things.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we work with it, we want to, you know, have it like that, active imagination. And if you want to go back 50 lifetimes or 100,000 lifetimes, you know, that's just your unconscious mind using its imagination. And
right.
We do, you know, whether you believe in past lifetimes or not, you can use this as a tool.
Because it is part of active imagination. Another thing that is part of timeline therapy is suspended belief. We're going to talk about beliefs later on with Howard, but beliefs can be an amazing tool, and they can also be a deterrent. But back to this aspect of creating abundance now, I'll tell you something that was really clear to me also. Many people talk about, you've probably heard the movie The Secret.
The Secret, yeah.
Manifestation. The thing that I kind of came away with, I thought it was amazing. It changed my life in a lot of ways. However, it kept me asking how. And when I came across timeline therapy, I began to really understand this is possible. There is an answer to the how. We truly believe that the process of creating your future through timeline therapy and the releasing of the negative emotions and limiting beliefs is that process of how, because Daryl and I both live it every day. It actually does work. So we want to bring you this knowledge and the learning tools and all of the learning tools that we keep coming across. I mean, anything that we find out, we want to share with you, because we really believe it's all about sharing knowledge.
Yes, and we've met a lot of people along our path.
Oh, absolutely.
And that we're going to also bring forth on our radio show for interviews. And one of them today is going to be Howard Mesner. He's an amazing person.
Oh, my.
Very intellectual, and he brings a whole kind of another energy to this because of his background in engineering. And he has a scientific background, but he's also connected with these type of abstract ideas that we bring. So we kind of bring it together. It really, it'll help other people, I think, because there's some people who think more on that logical level, but also can connect with kind of what we're coming from with it. Because we're also going to talk later about, not in this show, but further on, we've been reading a lot and been getting information on right and left hemisphere.
Which is kind of why you might wonder why Daryl and I talk at the same time sometimes. And that's because he and I are both talking to different hemispheres of your brain at the very same time.
Yes.
And that helps your learning process, helps you to gain knowledge faster, actually, we've found in studies.
Yes, because the right brain is your abstract.
Right.
Imagine
my favorite.
And left brain is logical, scientific. But they
your
both,
favorite.
Well, what I think the future is going to be is there's going to be an education and in therapy is to bring these together to have these communication between the right and left brain. It's going to be important because it really brings your thinking and your mind at a greater level, because we also believe in holographic theory.
Absolutely, and that is something that we're going to be talking about more in upcoming shows. You know, another thing that I want to mention real quick that's super important to both of us? Okay. This is so important to us. We both believe that the healing that we're doing with our clients, coaches, and trainers is part of healing the psyche, not just, you know, everybody's individual psyche and their wounds, but also healing the planet. We truly believe that as we heal, all of us, our bodies and our minds, the world itself benefits from this process. I know you probably hear this a lot, but it really is true. We raise our vibrations. We increase the clarity of our vibrations and our purpose by doing the work that we do, freeing ourselves of negative energy and creating or actually reestablishing and realigning the positive polarity within ourselves. And that is huge. That was one of the biggest reasons Daryl and I both got on board with this idea of coming on DBS, and Don has been so wonderful. And
yeah, it's a great avenue for all this stuff we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
And all the shows that we saw on DBS and I've listened to, they are really a variety of healing and a variety of things that are bringing this consciousness to the planet. And the planet bring it to us.
Mm-hmm.
There's a relationship there from
into
the universe. It's there's this huge shift going on. I think a lot of people are aware of in consciousness, and I see it in science. I see it. A lot of scientists are coming on board. A lot, especially physicists and biologists that I've noticed who are becoming aware. The more they study the science, the more. We had some technical problems
technical difficulties.
In the airwaves, but we're back here.
So, let's talk a little bit real quick about, we are going to be working with you, the listening audience. I don't know how much of that you heard, but we are going to be bringing you some of the process that we use as coaches. And as much time as we have on each show, we're going to try and do a little bit so you're able to get some of this yourself, some of this healing.
Yeah, because this is... this kind of work we do can work on the phone
right.
or on the airwaves. So we're going to be doing, if you listen closely when we do releasing limiting beliefs, this can this will help you. And later on, if you want, we also are, in later radio shows, we're going to offer guests to come on and do release the emotions from anger, sadness, fear, hurt, and guilt all the way through, which takes about 20 minutes.
And
then we also do that in our coaching sessions.
Right, and our guest today, Howard Messner, will be here soon, and he will be talking with us both about beliefs and values, and not only about beliefs, but also about the process of how beliefs affect our lives on the level of the body and the physical process, the emotional process, and how the emotional process of beliefs actually lodges itself in the physical body. And beliefs, like I said, they can be a very powerful tool for healing, but they can also be a big deterrent,
Yes, what we also want to do is to, sometimes a person can be, it's good to have facilitators, they'll be stuck within their problem.
Healing.
And they may know a lot of these healing techniques, and I've done it myself, try to work on it with myself, but I'm stuck in the problem, but I need a facilitator actually to bring me out.
Right.
To bring me outside of the box.
We all need to have
or someone that was
on the outside of us from time to time, because being stuck in our own thoughts, in our own mind, doesn't necessarily allow us to be able to broaden out and see, more than what's within. And we all know that we do have that, but having somebody on the outside like you and I who facilitates this healing.
And that is causes a connection between that, too. Not only are we, when we work with clients on a healing, it also creates a full circle of healing and a connection.
So, about the timeline, if we were working with a client, we'd be asking them to use their unconscious mind and to, if we were to ask them where the past is and where the future is, I have an idea they might say the past was to the left or maybe behind them and the future was in front of them or to the right, or maybe the future was above their heads and the past was below. Right?
Mm-hmm, that's right, yeah.
And like I may say to somebody, so can you remember something that happened a week ago? And if you were to remember that, can you point in the direction of where that event was?
And I'm pointing behind me, but no. Okay, we're back. We're still waiting for Howard to come on, and what we're going to do is talk a little bit more about what we do as timeline therapists.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I don't know when he's coming through, so what I'm just going to do is I'm going to keep talking about the actual process. So if you're hearing us out there in BBS Radio Land, we're going to help you to actually find your timeline.
All right, we're back again.
Howard, are you
yeah,
there?
Yeah, I don't think Howard's there right now. But
okay.
And we had, I guess Howard was with us for a while, but there was some miscommunication, so we're going to try to get him back if we can. If not, we'll just continue to kind of talk about what we do and bring in some. We have a lot of stuff to talk about in that field. And
if you do come on the air with us at some point, please don't hesitate to shout out. Let us know that you're there.
Yeah.
It's really what
hopefully
I'm seeing right now
back.
Are the paintings in my living room. So it doesn't hurt me, on that auditory level. So you just shout at me and let me know that you're there.
Howard.
Hello?
Hello, Howard?
Yes.
Hey!
We got you now, yeah.
Finally gotcha. You got a shout at us, honey. We don't know you're out there. So how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm having a little bit of difficulty hearing you, so.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right, so. We've got some time here. We've been working with the timeline, but let's talk about values.
Okay.
Why? Why are we talking about values, Howard?
Well, values govern all human behavior.
Good.
When you think about it, everything we do comes from our motivating emotions.
Yeah, they do.
And everything, any human being has ever done comes from these emotions, and those emotions originate with your values.
Yes.
And so they're about as important as it gets.
I have to agree with that. Let's see here. On top of our values, Can I say that? That not only our values, but also beliefs? Can I say that?
Yes, you can. Beliefs are attached to values. And,
yeah, thank you.
It's the values that give our beliefs all their juice.
The juice of life. Uh-huh. There we go. And by juice, we're talking about, I'm going to say the word emotion.
Yes, they kind of guide us at an unconscious level. We're usually not aware of them unless something happens to make us aware of them.
Right. Like, say, the Daryl talked a little bit about it, and I don't know if it came through, but we were talking a little bit about the Huna belief of black bags and how negative emotions get trapped in the body.
Mm-hmm.
In little black bags that surface every now and then in those silly little behaviors that we elicit from time to time that may or may not be too terribly appealing.
And
they can lead into beliefs.
I'm sorry, I did not hear that.
That's okay. You pick up from there and talk about beliefs, Howard.
Ah, okay.
Specifically.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I can hear you fine.
Okay, very good. The thing about beliefs is they guide us into making all of our decisions, both big and small.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of guide us through life, and they're going to determine how well you do at your job, or for that matter, what job you have.
Mm-hmm.
Going to determine how well your children do at school.
Oh, yeah.
And our beliefs come from a wide variety of sources.
Uh-huh.
So when we're very young, we see how our parents act, and we believe that's how we should act.
Right. Not to mention, we pick up maybe self-belief at that point. Like, for instance, maybe your parents show you that it's not that important to feel good about yourself, and so you grow up with a belief that you're not good enough.
Yes, in fact, when we're very young, we tend to just accept everything our parents tell us as being true.
Right.
And we all know that's not the case.
Yeah, we find that out about, I think, what is it, 17? Okay. So
when we get these beliefs, we tend to keep believing they're true until something happens to teach us otherwise.
Right.
And that's kind of what you do with timeline therapy.
You teach them otherwise.
Yes, you get them to go back and reconsider in light of the new information of their life.
The learning event. The learning from the event, pardon me.
I didn't hear that.
The learning from the event, the negative event,
yes.
Or the event itself, and the learning, the positive learning.
Mm-hmm.
Thereby releasing the negative emotion that created the limiting belief or decision.
Right.
There we go. So tell me a little bit about, I actually could share with you a little secret. In my family, we have these beliefs. They're called family myths. Everybody's got family myths. We have this one on my father's side about cancer and how people are more prone to cancer. So we have a lot of people running around fearful that they believe they're going to get cancer on my father's side. Now, on my mother's side, they have this nice little belief that in diabetes, and I believe there's a belief now about breast cancer. So those are family myths.
Mm-hmm. That's a good example of how we pick up things that we shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. And what does Bruce Lipton have to say about that?
Okay. I'd like to talk a little bit about his book.
Love for you to talk about his book.
Okay. The book is titled The Biology of Belief.
Mm-hmm.
It was written by Dr. Bruce Lipton. And Dr. Lipton was a medical school professor and a researcher into how cells process information.
Okay.
And now he's an author and a motivational speaker.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
There's a couple of things I'd like to share from the book, and one of them is a short story about how he studies how cells respond to their environment.
Uh-huh.
And the cells are designed to respond to chemicals in the blood. And he gives an example of histamine, which I always associate with allergies, but histamine is kind of an alarm signal to the body.
Mm-hmm.
And what he discovered was that even though there's histamine in the blood that's directly connected to molecular sensors in the cell, the nervous system can override that alarm.
Mm-hmm.
So the brain can actually tell the cells to ignore what their sensors are telling them.
Mm, wow. So they can actually shut down?
Well, they just ignore it, and the implications of this are that your thoughts very much control your body's reaction to germs and chemicals in the outside environment.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Your thoughts control this.
Mm-hmm.
I actually know somebody. I can't talk too much about this person, but this person believes that if they are chilled, you know, they go outside and they get rained on, they believe so strongly they're going to get a cold that they actually come down with flu and cold-like symptoms within an hour and a half of being outdoors without a coat.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of a powerful... I was talking about deterrence, how beliefs can be a deterrent. I'd say that's a deterrent myself to help.
Oh, yes.
And a powerful belief to let go of at some point.
Yes, that's a good example of a belief that's limiting us instead of helping us.
I would say so. And aren't there many of them these days? I don't want to get too controversial right out of the gate in the first show, but I can't help myself but watch these TV shows lately with the commercials with all of the...
drug companies?
Mm-hmm. I had to say it. I'm sorry. It stymies me. I can't imagine what that's doing to people's belief systems about their health when I see those commercials.
Yes, when someone tells you you're going to get sick this flu season, then you're much more likely to do so.
Oh yeah. Do you know I've never had a flu shot?
No,
never.
I haven't either.
I've never had a flu shot my whole life, and I've had the flu. I can probably count the number of times I've had the real bad, you know, horrible flu on one hand, how many times. I've never had a flu shot.
There's a belief every year around this time of year,
yes,
you get the flu. And
yeah,
then you have to have a flu shot in order to prevent that.
Yes.
Makes a lot of money for drug companies, doesn't it?
And I just don't believe in doing it. You know, so I quite honestly am scared to death of needles, so that's, you know, and maybe that's not a bad fear to have. There's a belief that works for me. So.
Yes. It's interesting, if you look at the clinical drug trials, the placebo effect is almost as effective as the drugs themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And curing the symptoms, and also the placebo group also gets a lot of the side effects of the drugs, even
Absolutely.
Though they're just taking a sugar pill.
Absolutely. Well, some people would say what you as a coach, you're a coach and trainer,
mm-hmm,
as we are as well, and we work with neurolinguistic programming. We work with timeline therapy and hypnosis. I've been doing hypnosis for over 8 years, and some would say that hypnosis, timeline therapy, NLP, and even the intuitive work that Daryl and I do is a placebo effect. I've always said when I did past life regressive work and I used it for a myriad of different things, people said to me, well, what if I don't believe in past lives? And I would say to them, if you have in some way changed, if you have in some way found value in this process and it has allowed you to heal on some levels, then it was something that was positive for you. It doesn't matter whether or not, you know, it's tangible. If it creates change in the body and the mind and it heals, then who cares? That's
mm-hmm,
my theory. That's my personal opinion, actually.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I think it's unfortunate that people think of the placebo effect as a bad thing.
I do, too. It's not a placebo effect. That's why I really hate that. I don't believe it is a placebo effect because it's a curative. It's curing them. Well, I shouldn't say curing. We can't use that word. I'm sorry. It's helping them facilitate their own healing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the unconscious level, we all have the blueprint of health.
That's
perfect
right.
Health.
That's right. That's one of the prime directives of the unconscious mind.
That's correct.
Preserving the body.
Yes. I would disagree with you a little bit as to whether or not the placebo effect is at play. I think the placebo effect is always at play.
Okay.
Most of the change work that we do is coming from changing the thoughts of the client.
The thoughts of the client, absolutely.
Hmm?
So we agree.
Oh, yes. Yes. The thoughts are as real as the disease.
It is. It is.
Yes.
It is. So tell me a little bit more about, there's a story you were mentioning to me last night, 1952, a young doctor.
Yes.
What was that?
In 1952, a young doctor in England named Albert Mason kind of made a mistake.
A mistake?
He was treating warts on a 15-year-old boy.
Uh-huh.
Doctors have treated warts with hypnosis for many years. And this seemed to be a really tough case. The skin was leathery, and it was said to look more like an elephant skin than human skin.
Mm-hmm.
But the skin on his chest looked normal. Anyway, the first session focused on one arm, and after a week, the arm looked normal. And when Mason brought the boy back to the referring surgeon, the surgeon was totally shocked and told Mason about his mistake. The boy didn't have warts. He had a genetic disease called genetic ichthyosis.
Oh, wow.
And Mason finished the treatment, and the boy led a normal life afterwards.
With no genetic ichthyosis.
Correct. Just with hypnosis. The surgeon had tried skin grafts that
just
didn't
with
help.
Hypnosis.
I beg your pardon?
Just with hypnosis.
Yes, just with hypnosis.
Just making sure everybody heard you.
I didn't hear that, I'm sorry.
Just making sure everybody out there hears what you're saying.
And then the interesting thing is when Mason tried to reproduce it with other patients, he was unable to. And he believed that he was unable to because he no longer believed he was treating warts. He thought he was acting, but because of his unbelief, he felt he wasn't able to help his clients.
Wow.
So it's a kind of a lesson for therapists that you need to believe in what you're doing in order to help people.
That's correct.
Absolutely. How devastating for the world.
Mm-hmm. The main thing I got from Dr. Lipton's book was science keeps expanding our understanding of these things. We hear these little stories, and we don't really think that much about it. And then 5 or 10 years later, there will be a scientific discovery that explains it.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Lipton's studies of the cellular behavior goes a long ways in that. He has come to believe that we're not so much a brain with a life support system, but more like a network of several trillion cells all working collectively.
Collectively and interdependently.
Yes.
Wonderful.
He more or less describes the mind as the collective intelligence of all of the cells in your body.
Right.
And so that's a very interesting viewpoint.
I agree.
And isn't also within each cell has its own respiratory system, has its own everything within that cell, right?
I beg your pardon?
Within each cell, it's almost like a body within itself with each cell.
Yes, each cell has its own organs, its own system of doing virtually everything. There's nothing in the human body that isn't represented at the cellular level.
Hmm.
Another thing that he talks about in the book is how the DNA has a sheath that covers up parts of the DNA chain, and so only part of the DNA gets expressed, and that sheath will change based on your life, which includes your beliefs.
Huh.
So your beliefs can actually affect your offspring, the genetic expression in your children.
Hmm.
Wow. So you're saying that the belief can actually change the DNA?
That's the basic gist of it, and it doesn't necessarily change the DNA. It changes which part of the DNA gets reproduced.
Expressed, if you will.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing, Howard.
And now, Darwin always believed that it was just a trial and error process of survival of the fittest.
Right.
But this new theory means that we actually do adapt genetically to our environment.
I always kind of suspected that. I mean, it just makes sense, really.
Uh-huh.
So, that's great. And that's, again, that's Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton?
Correct.
Oh, that is amazing, Howard. Daryl and I were talking a little bit about that, beliefs. Speaking specifically about disease, we were noticing the emotions and beliefs and how they come into play. We were grateful for doctors like Deepak Chopra.
Yes.
Deepak Chopra was one of the first to come out and actually say that.
1986.
In 1986, same time Timeline Therapy came out.
Yeah.
That disease in the body was part of the emotions, and many in the medical world began to study that. Many still don't believe, but there are many that do.
Yeah, I would like to point out that Dr. Chopra's work is actually founded on the Vedic medicine from 4,000 years ago.
Ayurveda, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Much of what we're talking about has been known to ancient cultures but kind of got swept aside by modern science.
I wonder why.
It's pretty convincing when you can show somebody a graph or scientific evidence, quote-unquote.
Right.
It puts all of the focus on the mechanical aspects and takes the focus off the interaction between the parts of the system.
Absolutely.
Well, that's where I believe that there's a paradigm shift going on in science.
Me too.
And in medicine, because the old ancient ways are kind of combining with the new science and bringing it together, which is offering this whole new paradigm, I think. That's
absolutely
what I see.
Absolutely.
I think it's possible. I'm a little concerned that our society tends to develop things based on financial reward a little
too
much.
Do you think? Yeah, well, they have to make a living. I mean, we can't fault people for having to feed themselves.
Oh, no. No, I'm a great believer in creating wealth and creating abundance.
Me too, as long as it's on an ecological level, meaning a win-win for everybody.
Yes.
I mean, I don't want to see people... My biggest thrust in what I do I don't want to say clinician, healing facilitator, is I want people to understand that they have the power within. I always use the Wizard of Oz as a great little, I don't even want to call it metaphor, when Dorothy stands before Glinda and she says, you know, I want to go home and I miss my family. And Glinda says to her, all you have to do is click your heels 3 times and say there's no place like home, excuse me. Because in essence, she's always had the power. She always had the power. No one ever took it away from her. She was always able to be right there. She was home at all times. And it's the same with us with healing. We have the power. It's always within us. It's our minds. It's our beliefs. You know, it's within us at all times. This is our reality. We choose.
I agree.
Yeah.
Maybe we should talk a bit about the kind of things we do with belief change.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I know you're very big on timeline therapy.
You think? Oh, yeah.
You have already spoke a bit about using it to remove limiting beliefs.
Right.
Maybe you could talk a bit about using it to create positive beliefs and beliefs that are useful in the future.
Yes.
That's true. That's absolutely true. There's nothing that you can't do with timeline as far as that's concerned. Putting something in your future timeline just is a matter of creating it, either through visual, auditory, or kinesthetic. And we know that not everybody is visual. It doesn't matter if you are visual or you aren't visual. You can still, with timeline therapy, create that. Like, say, for instance, I want to create more confidence within myself. I can float above my timeline to 2 weeks from now when I have a presentation and insert the picture that I have of myself standing up in front of an entire group of people and giving a talk on what I do as a life coach and what my business does as far as training is concerned. And I can imagine myself at the end of it all, everybody clapping and saying, you did a great job.
Uh-huh.
And I can put that, let's see, that's going to be October 20th here in Seattle. So that will actually be happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What about you, Howard? Tell us
I'd
your
like
thoughts.
To talk a little bit about some of the other things that we do.
Okay.
Often we do change people's beliefs conversationally.
Yes.
For example, if someone tells you that a young man tells you he can't talk to girls, and
right.
you simply ask him what would happen if you did, just in order to understand the question, he has to create the possibility of him talking to girls and get an internal representation of that.
An internal representation, i.e. auditory, visual, kinesthetic, olfactory, meaning how does it smell, and gustatory, meaning how does it taste.
Exactly. We can
okay.
also use submodalities, and it's probably a little bit beyond the scope of this program to go into that in any depth, but we adjust the visual, audio, and kinesthetic aspects of that internal representation to make that belief stronger or weaker in terms
mm-hmm.
of how strongly you believe that.
Like, for instance, he could hear the woman's voice as soft and alluring as she says to him, sure, I'd love to dance with you. Correct? And that would be a submodality change. Or he could see her reaching her hand out to take his, and he could brighten up that picture and the color, and that would be also a submodality change, the color and the brightness.
Yes.
And maybe he could even smell her perfume, and he could bring the smell of that perfume up for himself.
Mm-hmm. We can do it directly also by adjusting the submodalities of the current belief to the mm-hmm. submodalities of a belief that is not true or not as convincing or even more true, so we can change the level of conviction.
Conviction.
Yes.
I agree. As the conviction gets changed, it brings it into a picture or a scene or an experience, if you will, that makes it much more possible for them. And as they use that picture, they float above their timeline into the future to a specified date. I always tell my clients to date it, timestamp it, and then slip it down into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell them to future timestamp the particular thing they're trying to create, I do so not because I necessarily want them to think, well, gee, it's 2 o'clock off October 20th and it hasn't taken place yet. I do it because it is necessary to time it. And the thing that I found with the universe and the timeline and creation of the future is that it usually has about a 2 to 3 or 4 day cycle on it. It could happen before or it could happen after. I've actually had things I set for 2 weeks in advance happen more instantaneously. And what I do myself is I keep a timeline manifestation journal.
Okay.
So I can keep track of the actual things you and I were talking about, the submodalities. I find that they have a lot more to do with how things are going to necessarily manifest themselves. How much I work with those submodalities has a lot to do with how the timing on that creation of that particular goal, is what I call it, in the timeline, the future timeline, is created. Just a little side note there, folks, something I've noticed. So talk a little bit more with me about belief. There was something I wanted to bring up that I didn't get a chance earlier, and I wanted to bring it up because it's something that's near and dear to Daryl and my heart. There's two things. First of all, pain's a belief. I want everybody out there to understand that. You're in charge of your pain. I'm going to get lots of cards and letters on that. And learning disabilities. We're working right now, Daryl and I, it's something that's near and dear to our hearts, working with children. We don't want children to think that they have to walk around with the label of learning disabled, because we do the work that we do, Howard. And we do know that NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, can work with learning disabilities like ADHD.
Dyslexia.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Spelling.
Mm-hmm. I'm having some difficulty hearing you again, but if I think I've heard what you said.
Yes.
So you'd like to talk about learning disabilities?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I would start by saying the first thing you have to do is get rid of the limiting belief that the child is disabled.
Exactly, the label.
And once you do that, then there are a number of tools you can bring to bear to actually help the child learn better learning strategies.
Yes.
And you've spoken about internal representations and how people will tend to rely more on one sensory mode than another.
Visual. Correct, more visual, more auditory, right.
Mm-hmm. So a child who's learning athletics, likes athletics, may be very dependent on kinesthetics.
Or how it feels.
Mm-hmm. And that's a very good way to be an athlete, but a terrible way to spell.
It is a terrible way to spell, Howard. And tell everybody, why is it a terrible way to spell?
I guess I should put it this way. I have this belief.
Good.
That the best way to spell is to be able to see the word or whatever you're trying to spell in your mind's eye.
Yes.
Recall it visually and more or less see it, read it, and write it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the interventions that are done.
Yes, it is. And it works quite successfully. We've used it.
Okay.
That's wonderful. I'll just tell you. I've seen it, actually. The thing that warms my heart is that when a child's belief about themselves changes from one of a label like dyslexic or ADHD or learning disabled, when that label finally changes for them, for me, that's the whole price of admission. It's so profound. It's one of the biggest reasons why I do the work that I do.
Mm-hmm. Now, there have been a number of studies that children will perform to the level they believe they're supposed to perform.
To the level they believe.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
Uh-huh. And also the teacher's beliefs have an enormous effect on that.
Yes. That's right. We need to re-educate our teachers. The children are only going to do as well as the teachers believe they will do.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Listen, I have another appointment, so I need to run now.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Howard.
We thank you so much for
awesome.
Being on the show. And the name of your website,
www.doorwaystochange.
Doorwaystochange.com. .com.
And I'll send you a link for your website.
You bet. We're going to have a link. And Howard's doing his work in Southern Oregon as well as Northern California. And his number is, I've got it here somewhere. We'll give it to you right before we leave the air. 541-621-2936.
That's correct.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Howard.
Thank you. Keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Daryl.
Wasn't that great? That was some really good stuff.